Hello everyone, it's Nico here in Sakuma Podcast. I'm so excited today because I've got a special guest. I've been waiting for some time now to be here. She's here now. And please can introduce yourself and tell us who are you and where you are and what you do.
Hi, my name is Jess, and I am the engagement manager at the Southeast Integration Network. And I'm currently at my office, which is in Govan Hill in Glasgow.
Good. As I said in the beginning, I'm so excited to have you, Jesse, as a guest here on this episode on the podcast. So I'm going to go straight to question number one. How long Southeast Integration Network has been running? What does it do? And what is unique about it?
The Southeast Integration Network has been running for 10 years, since 2013. And it basically... what it does is it connects lots of different organisations in the southeast of Glasgow to support overall community integration and development. So it's a little bit different, or it is different to the other integration networks in the city that work directly with newly arrived people in the communities, people who are asylum seekers, refugees, other sort of migrants. And what we do at CN is all those services already existed when we started. And so what we do is we strengthen the partnerships that exist and support the work that's happening in the community. So that looks like a lot of different things. So for example, we have network meetings every month, which you're a regular at. And that's a really great place for people to share and meet each other and share updates about what they're doing, ask for help and support, and generally just where relationships and partnerships form that people then take forward often, and then like we'll co-produce a partnership together, a project together. And we also share a lot of information across our social media, our website, and we have a newsletter that is, I've had feedback that it's the best newsletter in town. That's not my words, that's someone else's words, but we share lots of information about what's happening in the area, and it's really varied. It can be like events and activities and stuff. We also share things like volunteering opportunities and individual support, so stuff like how to access different schemes, like help with energy discounts, or you know, various other kind of like how to access NHS services if you're an asylum seeker, with like, you know, the NHS apps and translation apps and stuff like that. So it's really broad what we do. We also have an anti-racist library that's open to anybody that wants to borrow books from there. So that's all the information can be found on our website. And we share lots of resources and general signposting information. We basically act as a hub for all these things to be connected. And so we have almost 100 members that are different organizations, very, very varied. It's lots of different types of people and organizations that want to generally see the southeast of Glasgow be as welcoming and supportive and inclusive a community as possible. And what is really cool and what tends to happen is that people learn from each other how to create really inclusive services. So for example, somebody might want to run a service for people who have lived experience of, say, the asylum system, but they're not quite sure how to do that, but they know there's lots of other organizations that do that, and they can go and ask them or learn from them just through being part of the network how best to actually do that properly. And we're now going into a new kind of phase of funding where we've been able to also secure some money to do some project work. So I will be running peer action groups, which kind of come off the back of that really, really strong knowledge in the network, where groups have got specific expertise will organize around something and co-produce a resource that can be used across the network. So an example of that would be like how to create safe spaces for Muslim women, And so the groups and organizations that have that expertise, we make something, a toolkit or a video or a training together, and that can then be used for everybody across the network. So everybody is aware of how to make their spaces safe and accessible and inclusive. We also do an accessibility fund for our members. So that's a small amount of grant money that we give out every year. And it's open to all of our members to apply for, and they then spend that money on things like travel expenses or interpreters or childcare costs, or anything basically that will make their service accessible to somebody who would otherwise not be able to access that service. And we have training that we offer to members for free as well. So we do lots of different types of training, LGBTQI, like allyship and inclusion training. We've done anti-racist training, how to be like an active bystander. We've done training on how to facilitate like a workshop or a space. We've done first aid training, like anything that people feel that they have gaps in, either in knowledge or skills, we can support that. And another thing actually we're going to be introducing in the coming year is going to be a resource bank of physical resources that members have. So basically anything that people have, like a physical thing, so like say it's office space or event equipment, or I don't know, like a very like, say it's like an art organization, they've got like a printing press or something like that. They can list that, and we'll have a resource bank, and anyone who's a member of the network can access that and then use those things either for free or a fee, depending on what it is, so that we have this kind of culture of like sharing, and it stops people having to spend money unnecessarily on things that they can just like get from the network, and it also builds relationships and connections. So really what makes CN so unique is that we work with all organizations that have a shared goal of an inclusive and equal community, and support that work and make sure that we have voices of lots of different people with lots of different expertise contributing to how we move that forward and how we, and so another thing actually that I'm going to be doing this year is sitting on the area partnerships. So we cover four wards at CN. We cover Lynn Ward, Pollock Shields, Southside Central and Langside. And the area partnerships are basically like kind of like they're run by the council and often have like important representatives from that area, usually like their councillors, some people from the Health and Social Care Partnership, some other kind of people and some organizations. And so what me being going on to these area partnerships will do is allow the voices of the grassroots organizations that we support who are members being heard at like a local government level, so that we can feed into how the local government are investing in the area and supporting the overall residents of that area. So we really act as a kind of middleman between lots of different organizations and lots of different levels of organization, from like the grassroots, like, you know, voluntary run organizations, all the way up to like we work with like the NHS and the council and the Scottish government and stuff, so we can support that, those conversations, and make sure that people's voices are being heard throughout those areas basically. So that's an overview of what we do. I hope that answered your question, Nicole.
Yes, Jesse, you did answer well. That was well explained as well, and I'm sure even the listeners, they will understand what we're talking about here. And for me, I just wanted to add up something that I really, really admire your work and your colleagues as well, because I'm one of those people attend your meetings, and it's always well organized and well attended, and I feel welcomed all the time. And thank you for that.
You always give us a little joke somewhere. It's my favorite part of the meeting.
I think life
is
about,
what's the joke going to be this time?
Life is about laughing sometimes. Even even like now we're talking really, sharing what's called what the project does. And no, I think that's the purpose of the podcast. So most of the people never heard about it. When they listen, what you just said now, it helps them to choose themselves what they want to do.
Yeah.
And, totally. Yeah. So the next question.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah, because often you find, you know, somebody, if somebody's, just because someone's immigration status is, you know, they're an asylum seeker, doesn't mean they don't also have an interest in joining like a, you know, a gardening group or musical instruments, or they, you know, might want to know about other local services. And so us existing means that everyone knows what everyone else is doing, and it joins people up in a way that gives them that support and that access to their community beyond just like basic services. And they can have that choice as well, which is really important because everybody else is really informed on how to support different groups of people well.
Oh, well explained there, Jesse. Thank you again. I think we're moving to question number two. Who are your members and what do they gain from being a part of Southeast Integration Network?
So are our members are really broad. So we have on our website, I think probably about 30 odd categories, which our members work under slash, you know, as part of the work that they do. So we've got some organizations, for example, that work with like food and like, you know, do like different things relating to food and community food stuff. We've also got organizations that work in like advocacy and support. So, you know, in terms of like helping people apply for benefits and like their housing rights and immigration. We have members that work with young people and support that. We've got members that work in like media and publishing. So there's a really, really broad mix of organizations that we support. And the only criteria that we really have to join the network is that they deliver stuff in the area. So they deliver stuff within the southeast of Glasgow and that they're like a not-for-profit organization. So that they can benefit from what we do. And like I said, the benefits of that are really broad. Different people use us for different things. Some people just, you know, they like to be connected in and get the information that we share through our, we send out a lot of information to the members via email, as well as our newsletter that goes out every 2 weeks, which is absolutely packed with stuff. And for some of them, that's all they really want. Some of them will use us to advertise a lot of what they're doing and promote the work that they're doing to the network. A lot of times people will come to us and say, hey, I'm working with this family and I don't know if you know about, is there any services available for children with like autism or, you know, a neurodivergence? We don't know where to look. And so often we'll have that knowledge that, okay, yeah, this organization runs this project, or maybe try speaking to these guys. And it really saves people time, that kind of thing, because instead of them having to just like search and try and work it out, we quite often get referrals from NHS, where somebody is like working with someone who they're not sure how to support them in various needs, and they'll get in touch and ask, hey, do you guys know they're in this area, you know, they're isolated and they're looking for something to do, do you have any they enjoy doing these things, do you have any recommendations? So that's that's our members that get in touch, but also just the wider, like I said, like we work with lots of different partners across Glasgow, predominantly in the southeast. And then it's really access to information and training. So the members, all the training that we offer is free for members, and people trust the training that we put on. So we will hire obviously a trainer who's an expert in what they're training, but we do a lot of research before we put any training on. So people always come to our trainings because they trust that what we're going to put on is good, instead of something that's like, you know, not very well done. And like I've in the past done a lot of support with members around stuff like communications and marketing and like support with that, because a lot of people, you know, they don't have the money if they're a charity to hire someone to do that, but they need a bit of help looking at how to address it. So I can help with that. And I think also a really big thing people get out of being part of the network, and something that we all feel when we're fighting continuously against systems of oppression and inequality, is a sense of community and a sense of like togetherness. It can be very isolating, I think, for a lot of people in their jobs when they're just, especially people who are really on the front line fighting against these systemic inequalities every single day. It's exhausting, and sometimes you can feel like things are just getting worse and worse and worse, as in the government are becoming more and more extreme and right wing and targeting already vulnerable communities, particularly asylum seekers, with the, and obviously there's like huge inequality, huge rises in poverty, and it's really hard not to be consumed by that. And I think coming together every month collectively and people being able to like support each other and talk and share resources, it just gives people this like boost and realize that what they're doing, they're not alone, and that they, we're all in this together, and there's other people who also care, and there's other good work happening, and there is light, you know, because it just can be so consuming sometimes, being in this world and realizing the amount of injustice that happens, and really wanting the energy put towards fighting against that and fighting for people. And obviously a lot of our members have got lived experience of the work that they do because they're experts from that lived experience, and so for them as well, like knowing that there's a wider support network for them there and they can, you know, tap into that, is really important. So yeah, the Met really, and like I've obviously mentioned the projects that we're going to be running this year, the peer action groups and the resource bank and, you know, the accessibility fund and stuff. So there's like lots of different things that people come to us for support, but really what we're there to do is, by supporting the organizations, we support the community benefits, yeah, and the organizations benefit. And it's and because we've got so many different members who have different understandings and knowledge and experience, they all teach each other how to be better versions of the organizations that they are, because they become more inclusive, they become more intersectional, and generally, that's my answer to that question.
Yes, you answered very well, Jesse. That was amazing. I just enjoyed the energy of this episode. We're just having fun and actually, yeah, enjoying the episode. I hope the listeners also pick up this positive energy and listen to the podcast and share it with your friends as well, with your networks as you go. Now we're moving to the question. This question, we don't have a challenge on this. What we just been talking about, but now the question number three is for you, Jesse. What are the challenges on working with projects and charities in Glasgow, in particular?
Well, I think from our ends, like there's not really challenges in terms of like us directly working with groups, because we don't work directly with community members. We work with the organisations that support community members. But I think that in terms of that work, there's obviously a lot of challenges in people's needs, as organizations, and like growing need, because there's like a lot of our members are really affected by funding and like not having the money to deliver their services, and obviously the problem there is that people are relying on the services, and so that can be really difficult when there's a really great service that you're recommending people go to and then they can no longer run it, and there's a massive gap in a community need that can really affect people, and there's very real consequences to that. And I think that's something that really frustrates me working in this, is knowing just how much people rely on these community services for, you know, things like their basic human rights, like food and, you know, access to supporting services that help them then, you know, get housing and benefits and everything like that. But also just in terms of building community and feeling belonging and being able to like learn English and, you know, make friends and be part of something and feel valued and feel useful and, you know, contribute and gain from that. So that is definitely a hard thing to support organizations who are going through a lot of that when they're really struggling with stuff. Other challenges, I don't know, I'm trying to think of, like, I guess that there's never enough hours in the day for anybody to do. There's so much good work happening. I think first of all it's really important to say that there's like, I'm so proud to be like to live in this part of Glasgow and to work in this part of Glasgow, because it is incredible the variety of organizations that exist and the real genuine care for the community and the understanding that like this is our collective home and we want to make it as class as possible and everybody belongs here and we fight, like, you know, Kenmure Street is a great example of that. Like, we fight like that inequality as a community. And I really, not always, I know there's obviously always gonna be, there is issues, but I do really feel that sense of community here very strongly. But there is just, there's so much wider inequality that exists. And when you've had a government that has targeted for 13 years, like, the people in society that are vulnerable and they scapegoat them. And that obviously affects, like, for example, there's been a lot of legislation around asylum seekers over the last couple of years, but that affects so many more people than just asylum seekers. Like, obviously the asylum seekers that are in at the center, right, they're being affected by it, like, is horrific, but it really just, like, mandates racism and it mandates people being able to have those opinions and publicly act on those opinions. And I think that definitely, like, supporting organizations and supporting people able to fight that without being exhausted, particularly those organizations that are have lived experience of these things, where they're just, everyone's just so tired of it. Like, it's just like, it just feels like every couple of months things just get worse, you know. But there's obviously still a lot of great and a lot of good, but the overall climate right now is really, really hard and exhausting to work in and obviously to experience as well.
That's good. I'm gonna go to the last question. This one is just like, you can even ask me questions as well if you want to. But this one is like, what message do you have for the people and organizations in southeast of Glasgow and why they should listen to this episode of the podcast?
Well, I think up top I should say you should just listen to the podcast, because not just this episode, but just in general, because the things that you talk about and the guests you get on and what you're interested in and the voices that you platform are incredibly important and need to be heard in a lot of different areas. But I think that what you give is, what you've done is something quite unique. And obviously, we had swapped positions before, where I was asking you about the podcast a couple of years ago and wrote up a piece for our website on it. And, you know, we had a really good chat and you told me a lot about why you were inspired to do this and why you felt it was really important. And obviously that still stands. You know, I think what you do with the podcast is really cool, and you're unapologetic in that, and you're like, yeah, this is, I've got something to say and I'm gonna do it my way. And I think generally listen to the podcast. I guess the message that I have is that, probably to kind of echo what I've been saying, is that there is so much out there, like, there's so many people who really want to build an equitable, inclusive community. And the more that we're together and the more that the louder our voice is, the better. It's important to fight against the current systems of oppression, and it's also really, really important for people to people who are directly experiencing those systems of oppression to see that there is a community around them and there is support and that people are fighting against that. I would say, you know, get if you're not already involved in some way in your local community, be it in the southeast of Glasgow or be it somewhere else, like, get involved. Just in a small way, just, you know, if you're doing volunteering once a month, or, you know, anything that you can do to contribute to creating a more inclusive and a kinder society and community that you live in, like, I would highly recommend doing that. And listen to this episode if you want to know a bit about what the work we do in the southeast of Glasgow.
Oh, thank you so much, Jesse. We are coming to the end of this episode. It was really, really nice talking to you. And as I said in the beginning, the energy is when I talk about energy, sometimes I think people don't understand what I mean, energy. I'm talking about sometimes if you're in the room of people who can help you, I'm talking about the projects, and the energy is not that good, you stop talking. That's why the purpose of the podcast, I noticed that in many Amen. Bless you. So I decided maybe if we run a podcast, our voices to be heard. Not where you're not feeling uncomfortable, but where you have a freedom to speech, to talk as well. That's why the purpose of the podcast, to our voices to be heard. And as I said earlier on, the Southeast Integration Network always welcomes me and everyone with them. So thank you so much, Jesse. And if you are listening, please can you share it with your networks. Follow us on Spotify. The more numbers on Spotify following, the more people hear about our voices to be heard and these wonderful projects and charities, what they do in Glasgow and all over around in the country, in England as well. So yes, share it with your networks. Thank you again, Jesse.